chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Now Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Amen.
John the Apostle puts his purpose statement at the end of his letter, and his purpose for writing this letter is clear. Out of all that Jesus did, John says he wrote down these specific things in this letter so that we would believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing, we will have life in his name. John wants us to know and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and he wants us to know that true life is experienced through believing in Jesus the Son. Later, John writes that this is why Jesus came. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, if you can go ahead and go to the next slide. It might be the next one. Okay, maybe not. Maybe back up two. Try to go up one more. Okay, maybe it's not in there. You can look. Let's look at John chapter 10 and verse 10. This is why John says Jesus came. I have come that they might have life and have it to the fullest. And in that same verse in John 10:10, if you look it up, Jesus says there is an enemy. And there it is, right there on that slide. It was there all along. In the same verse, Jesus says that there is an enemy, a thief, who comes to steal that life from you and I. And he'll go so far as to kill you and me. The enemy wants to destroy us. The same John wrote in Revelation 12:10 that this enemy is the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before God day and night. But the revelation says that the time has come for that enemy to be hurled down.
Amen.
In John 8:44, Jesus says the devil is a murderer and he's a liar. So do not listen to him. We must learn to listen to one voice alone, and that's Jesus, the one that's come to bring us life.
Amen.
When I was 26 years old, I hit a rock bottom. Drug abuse, alcohol abuse, sexual sin, crime and violence. I found John 8:32-36 that says, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And in John 8:36, he says, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. And God kept his word. He delivered me from those addictions. As I've gotten older, at times, I've shrunk back into darkness, or come to realize there's darkness in me that still needs to be dealt with. And here's what I know, that the light of Jesus is still shining even in the darkest places, and the darkness has not overcome it. No matter what we're going through as a church, and Lord knows we've been through a lot as a church, or in our personal lives, his word, the scripture says, can bring new life. Jesus is the new beginning and the new start that every one of us needs. And God is calling you and I to believe in the name of the Son. And by doing so, we will have life in his name. There are a lot of wrong ways that we try to live this life. And they don't bring life at all. They actually bring death. Jesus claims to be the only true life that there is to live. John 14:6 on the next slide. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. In the next slide on John 8:12, Jesus says, and this is all the same author, John, the same gospel at this point. He later on is going to say, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And the same author, even though in a different book, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, says, the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded their eyes. When John says, "These things I have written to you that you might believe and have life," he's writing to two groups of people. To people who have already believed and need to continue believing because there are challenges coming against them and their faith. And he's also writing to people who have never believed in Jesus, who need to come to faith for the first time and believe and take hold of the life that's in Jesus. And so John begins his gospel at a very familiar place, the beginning. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Some translations may say the darkness does not comprehend it, but I've looked, researched it very carefully in the original language, and there's really only one meaning for that final statement. It says the darkness has not overcome it. N.T. Wright wrote, "Whatever else John is going to tell us, he wants us to see his book as the story of God in the world. Not just the story of one character, Jesus, in the first century. This book is about the Creator God acting in a new way within his much-loved creation. It is about the way in which the long story which began in Genesis reached the climax the Creator had always intended." I don't have a slide for this, but let's just look at that real quick in Genesis chapter 1 and see this language. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said," there's the word, "let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness. He called it night. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." And the way God creates is through his word. In Genesis chapter 1, the climax of the creation is humans made in God's image. In the Gospel of John, the climax is the arrival of another human being, the Word becoming flesh, Jesus, the Son of God. Isn't that something? That John sees this story that he's telling as a part of the story that began from the beginning. That same word that said, "let there be light," came into the world through Jesus into darkness, just like in Genesis 1. And this time, the Word, the living Word, Jesus stepping on the scene, once again, it's God saying, "let there be light." And Jesus steps down into this world of darkness that we all live in, and he shines a light that cannot be overcome by the darkness. Words, and he does it through his Word. Words have life. When people hear them, it can change the way that people think or the way they live. Think of the words, "I love you," or "I do," or "it's time to go," or "you're fired." These words are powerful. They create new situations. People respond to them, and then they act accordingly. The words remain in their memory, and they go on affecting them. In the Old Testament, God regularly acts by means of his word. What God says, it happens. If you go to the next slide, I believe in Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Isaiah 46:8, God's word is the one thing that's going to last beyond this present creation. And in Isaiah 55:10-11, it says, God's word will go out of his mouth and bring life, healing, and hope to his people and to all creation. That's part of what lies in John's mind in his choice of the word. In this passage that he's using, the Jews, they kind of already understood this. This idea that the word could have a presence. And they believe that in wisdom. If you look at Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a person. They believe that there was a presence that went along with the word that was actually being given. And also, the Jews believed that God's presence was in the physical tabernacle. We're going to look at that more next week. The Greeks and other non-Jews, when they spoke of the word, and the Greek word here for the word, some of you all know, is logos. And to the Greeks, they believed that this logos was a principle of rationality that lied deep within the universe and within all of us as humans. And they believed that this logos that John is using right here in this passage, if you looked deep enough within it, you would find all the answers to life. And so they believed if you got in touch with this principle, you'd find true meaning. And John is saying to all of these people that the word is not just an abstract principle about how to find fulfillment in life or how to find enlightenment in life that you can find if you just think hard enough or study long enough or how intelligent you are. John would say, no. The Logos is a person. It's Jesus of Nazareth. In the Gospel of John is John introducing the living Word. The Word is supposed to, the written Word is supposed to lead us to the living Word. And I'm going to show you the difference in this and where we can miss it sometimes. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. In John 5:39-40, in the same gospel, Jesus says to the people of God, you study the scriptures diligently because you think in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me. The goal is not just to know the written word. It's what the written word is leading us to. And it's to a man. It's to a person. It's to Jesus. That's the theme of the whole gospel. If you want to know who the true God is, you look long and hard at Jesus. Remember, Jesus said that, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is the exact representation of the Father. And he is God. Jesus is God. As a child, I remember having moments where I did not like the dark. For one, it meant that all the fun was over and it was time to go to bed. And I would just lay there, looking up at the ceiling or at the top bunk. Anybody ever remember doing that? Just overthinking everything. Just think myself to sleep. But in all seriousness, I've had those moments where I was in total darkness and gripped with fear. And maybe you've been there and done that. Maybe you've wondered whether the darkness hid the monsters in it or whether the dark was the monster in and of itself. There's something fascinating about darkness, in part because it creates pockets of mystery. In true darkness, I have no idea what is around me. My surroundings, my company, even my own person becomes unknown to me for a moment. In part, that's why I find it so scary. But for all the terror of monsters or things that might sneak up on us, when I think about it, no matter how deep the darkness is, it's never able to put out the light. There was never any struggle once my light was flicked back on. Even a single flickering flame isn't put out by all the darkness that's around it. In fact, the only power the darkness has is the absence of light. When the light comes on, the darkness retreats. We can see things as they actually are. And then there's hope. John says that Jesus is the true light that came into the world of darkness and makes the most important statement, I believe, in these first five verses. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It doesn't matter what darkness we are facing or what you're going through. It has not overcome the light of Jesus. It could be this thing we went through with the pandemic and all the trials that we've been through as a church. It could be something we're going through in our personal lives where for the moment it seems as if the darkness has conquered. Then there's Jesus. There's the light reminding us that it has not overcome him. And it never will. When the light of Jesus comes, the darkness is defeated. We all need new beginning. We all need a new word that leads to a new life, a new start, a new beginning. I need it in my personal life. I know we need it as a church. Jesus represents that hope. He's the one that's going to bring life to us. He's the one that's going to bring a new beginning to us. We're going to look more at some more of this next week about how we've got to make sure it's him we're looking to and not to any person, not to any human, not to the people that we often look to and we ride on their coattails and we look up to. We're going to see next week why it's important that you need to know who your faith is in. It's a message that I desperately need, we all desperately need, that no matter how dark the darkness is, it has not overcome the light. It's the message of the Gospel of John about what God wants you and I to know about his son Jesus. The invitation is not just to hear the word. It's supposed to lead us to him. We're supposed to come to him. He's the living word. He's a person. Jesus is God, and he desires for you and I to know him. That's what John 17:3 says. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the one and only true God, and your son, Jesus, whom you have sent. I find it fascinating that the Bible begins with God saying, let there be light, and that it ends talking about the light of God. Look at Revelation 21. It's not on the slide. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And then if you skip down to 21 and verse 23, it says, and the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. If that wasn't enough, he talks about the light one more time in chapter 22, the very last chapter of the Bible. It literally begins and ends with Jesus as the light. In Revelation 22:5, it says, and there will be no longer any night there, and there will not have to be need of the light of a lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Have you ever thought about that? I know I've got a lot of great Bible students, so I know a lot of y'all have. But did you ever think about what the light was in Genesis 1 when he said, let there be light? When the sun and moon and stars weren't even created till day 3? Have you ever thought about that? I've thought about that. It's the same thing that what's going on here in Revelation. There's no need when Jesus is around. When the Word speaks and says, let there be light, it's Jesus. And the darkness has to retreat. And that's the hope for me. That's the hope for you. That's the hope for this church. The same gospel writer, the apostle, said in 1 John 1:9, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus. His Son purifies us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. The only thing we have to decide this morning is if we're going to come to the light and if we are going to embrace it. And if we are going to let him show us new life. Because no matter how dark the darkness is, that light is shining and it's never been put out. If you need baptism, if you need prayer, if we can just support you in any way, please come while we stand, while we sing.
Wonderful.